Phone lines are open. Let's get right to them. We're going to start things off with Frank in Toronto. Frank, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
With Luke walking Loney there, I think Roberts is 2-for-4 lifetime against Lincoln. I don't know. I thought a lefty-lefty matchup would have been more favorable. Just wondering what you're thinking about that.
A lefty? You mean Luke Loney, opposed to Lincoln and Roberts?
Yeah.
Well, first, 2-for-4 doesn't mean anything. The 2-for-4 is nothing. It's one day, and you know, maybe somebody had a cold or somebody was in the middle of a hot streak. So you can't look at 2-for-4 lifetime and give that any significance at all. But I was a little bit surprised with the walk to Loney, the way that Aaron Loop has pitched against left-handed hitters for his career, though Loney is having a terrific year. And the truth of the matter is that Ryan Roberts is far worse against right-handed pitching than James Loney is against left-handed pitching. It's a free base because Evan Longoria is the winning run. It doesn't matter who's behind him or not. I don't know that it was, quote-unquote, the right move in that situation. I don't know that there is a right move in that situation, but James Loney's a far better hitter than Ryan Roberts, at least the way things are going right now. So I didn't mind that.
Do you think they would have walked Loney if Longoria was at first instead of second?
No, they wouldn't have.
Play into it?
Yes, they would not have walked Loney if Longoria was at first.
And was Luke trying to pitch around Longoria there? Did he just miss on a spot?
I think he wanted to make sure he didn't hit the ball out of the ballpark, and he almost did. And maybe there's another reason for the walk to Loney, how hard the last two balls were hit off of off of Aaron Loop. Zobrist almost took him deep. And then Longoria almost took him deep.
Oh, great. Well, thanks, Mike.
All right.
Great show.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate the call and the compliment. Blue Jays lose it 5-4 in 10 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Nolan is in Toronto listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Nolan.
Hey, Mike.
What's up?
Not much. I want to talk about the 10th inning there.
Sure.
Tell me if you agree with this, okay? This is what I would have done if I was John Gibbons. I would have intentionally walked Longoria and put him on first, and I would have let Luke pitch to Loney.
With two out and nobody on, you're going to walk a guy? You're going to put the winning run on base with two out and nobody on?
Well, the plan was to pitch around him. I mean, if we're going to pitch around him, Longoria's not going to strike himself out. We all know that.
No, we don't all know that. It happens all the time.
Okay, but it's more than like. Okay, but it's Evan Longoria.
It's not more than likely that anybody gets on base. It's always more than likely that the hitter is going to get out. Always.
Okay, but I still would have put him on. But I don't like the whole Brad Lincoln move. I would have let Luke pitch to Loney. Like, I don't like the fact Longoria ended up at second when he could have been on first just by us putting him on, and then we could have let Luke pitch to Loney.
But you're missing the greater point here in that Longoria got himself on base. He wasn't put on base, that when there's two out and there's nobody on, the only thing that's going to beat you at that moment is a home run. So any other situation, you don't lose the game, and there's a good chance that the guy's going to get out. And again, there's always a better chance that a hitter's going to get out than he's not. In every scenario in the history of baseball, with some like very, very tiny exceptions named Barry Bonds and Ted Williams, there's always a better chance that the hitter's going to get out. I think, honestly, there's no way you ever put the winning run on base, especially in that situation.
Okay, then let's go to the intentional walk to James Loney then.
Sure, but we just discussed that with the last guy.
I mean, I like Loop's chances of getting someone out better than Lincoln. I like Loop's control better, and Loop can get the ball in play to a defender better than Lincoln can. I mean, I'd rather lose the game where they actually have to earn their victory by making contact with the ball than
absolutely
just two walks on. Like, I like Loop's control over Lincoln any day of the week.
Okay. All right. I appreciate the call. There's no way you can see Brad Lincoln coming in and walking two guys. I discussed the whole Loop Lincoln thing with the last caller, and my answer hasn't changed. I don't know that there's a right or a wrong. I like Ryan Roberts against a righty better than James Loney against anybody at this point, because Loney is just so locked in right now. The guy is nearly hitting 400. We have Glenn in Toronto, I hope, because we've lost our computer here at Tampa Bay, which has been a running theme of these four games. I don't understand at all. Glenn in Toronto, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks. Just wanted to make a comment, I guess, in this the way the season started. One bright spot's been Rajay Davis. Every time he seems to play, he makes something happen, gets on base, steals a base or two, throws guys out at home. I was just wondering, Mike, at what point does Gibby decide, okay, Rajay's got to play every day. Who's going to be our DH? Is it Cabrera or Lind? I mean, Rajay has to play, especially with our shortstop leadoff hitter. What are your thoughts on that? And secondly, do you think Brett Cecil possibly would go to a starter too with all the injuries that are happening right now?
No, I don't think Brett Cecil's going to start. I mean, they're getting close to any port in a storm mode, so we might see it. If he does, it would probably be sort of like a piggybacky thing with Brad Lincoln, and maybe with Esmiel Rogers, wherein they'll go three innings each or something like that, to get the Blue Jays through a day.
Pitch as a starter, with it being 90 miles an hour, he's pitching a hell of a speed. I know it's
I don't think he's at 93, 94 if he's starting. I mean, we don't know until we see it, but he, you know, now he knows he doesn't have to pace himself. He knows that he doesn't have to get through a lineup more than once. There's a whole lot of difference between starting and coming out of the bullpen. And as far as Rajay Davis, I'm a big fan. I love Rajay Davis. I don't want to knock Rajay Davis at all. Your question is, when does John Gibbons make the decision that Rajay's got to play every day? I think the answer is when Rajay Davis shows he can hit right-handed pitching, because this year he has just not done that at all. He did get the single off of Fernando Rodney today in the ninth inning, which makes him 11 for 46 against righties. He's hitting under 230 with an on-base around 260 against right-handed pitching.
Yeah, so but that argument can be made for what's Adam Lind and what's Adam Lind doing against right-handers, or I don't know.
Better than that. Adam Lind's got an on-base of 400 against right-handers. Melky
Cabrera
is hitting 300
against righters. We got to give Rajay a chance, especially with Reyes out as a leadoff hitter.
I don't think we do. Well, Rajay against lefties, and right now it's Brett Laurie against righties, but Rajay has a ton of speed, and he's very exciting, and he makes things happen, but he has a 260 on base against right-handed pitchers, and it doesn't matter how much speed you have, you cannot play a 260 on base, especially in the top of the lineup.
What's Rajay's average right now, Mike, overall?
But see, I'm not talking about overall.
Oh no, I was just wondering.
Driven by his
average
success against left-handers. I don't know, but I'll look it up for you. It's definitely solid, but again, driven by he's hitting 291, and that's driven by the fact that he's hitting about 400 against left-handed pitching. So you can't, these are two different arguments here. I think Rajay is wonderful. I want him hitting leadoff against every left-handed pitcher the Blue Jays face. But he's doing very, very poorly against right-handed pitching, so you can't ask me what's his overall average.
Do you possibly see Batista going to third?
No.
And moving Laurie to second at all?
I don't. I wouldn't mind that, to be honest with you. Although Meister Esturiz really has come around, and he's starting to hit very, very well. But I wouldn't mind seeing that move made and maybe giving Anthony Gose a chance to see if he can come up and be successful. But right now, I don't think they're going to do that. I appreciate the call, Glenn. I want to get to a few more people before we go. Thanks. Jeff is in Toronto listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. You guys have been debating Loop versus Lincoln, and I want to suggest that there's another option that makes even more sense if baseball people didn't think as conservatively as they do. And that's Casey Jansen, who was left at the end of the game sitting in the bullpen. When tonight is actually a rare example of a very clear opportunity where you know the highest leverage situation is
bottom of the inning. The only problem with that, Jeff, is that the highest leverage situation had passed already. Like, I totally get what you're saying, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but by your logic, Casey Jansen would have pitched the ninth, would he not?
No, I didn't think the ninth was as high leverage as I'm okay with saving him for a high leverage overtime, extra inning situation.
What's the difference? The 10th may not happen if you don't get out of that 9th. And at the time, the 9th is the highest possible leverage.
I really want to get your opinion on this. So let's fast forward to the 10th with two on, two out, or three on, two out. You know that it's the highest leverage situation
absolutely
of the game versus
but he's not
the
even
typical
up
save opportunity. Are you saying they can't get him ready in time because they can't pre-plan ahead enough? Or that they don't do it because they're saving him for the save situation?
They don't do it because they're saving him for the save situation. And the question is that right or wrong? But again, with this argument, you can't talk about the 10th because he has to be in there in the 9th in your argument. And if he's not, then what's the difference between the 10th and the 11th and the 12th?
I'm a very common sense guy. I can only tell you that this was a very important game for them to win. 3 out of 4 in Tampa would have been important. They played well. Dickey pitched really well.
Yes.
And Casey Jansen, your best pitcher, lefties, righties, night, day, indoor, turf, grass, it doesn't matter. Your best pitcher did not break a sweat, did not get into the game.
You are correct.
There's
and
a
yet
flaw in how baseball looks at this mythical save situation.
Yeah, there is definitely a flaw in pitching to a stat, and there is a flaw in working the save situation and holding back a pitcher for a save situation. But the truth of the matter is, as angry as you want to be about the fact that John Gibbons didn't use Casey Jansen tonight, by the logic that your closer has to pitch in the highest leverage situation in the game, Casey Jansen would have pitched the 9th, and Aaron Loop and Brad Lincoln still would have pitched the 10th.
Well, it'll be nice to have Santos back and have two, de facto closers, so you could always
it absolutely
pitch
will
one in high leverage and save one for the save. But
yep,
to see our best pitcher not break a sweat tonight and what everyone would agree is a pretty important game to win just doesn't seem like – and with Loop and Lincoln, neither of these guys suggesting that, you know, Lincoln was like on the bubble, on the scrap heap of between AAA and the big leagues. And you've got a top five closer, a top 10 closer sitting there. And he's signing autographs. It doesn't make sense.
You got a top one closer, is what you have.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
Preaching to the
choir. And you're wrong. You're not wrong. But again, I still think highest possible leverage is 9th inning in a tie game, and that's where you go to Jansen. They're not going to use him for more than one inning, so the 10th would have space time continuumally worked the same way. Thank you,
well,
Jeff.
Well, let's keep preaching the truth, and maybe they'll change the way they look at it someday.
That would be swell. That would be swell. We got time to sneak in one more. Dean is in Keswick listening on our flagship station.
You are
Hello,
one of
Dean.
My favorites, however.
Aw, thank you.
I think you're drinking too much Kool-Aid stats.
I am drinking no
way.
Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid
I deal in
stats.
Facts, not Kool-Aid. What's the problem, Dean?
I tell you, sometimes you have to play the game by the gut. However, let's forget that. Just two quick points, and then I'll let you reply, and
sure,
we'll go from there. I totally disagree with the Loop non-walk against Liguria. Here we got a guy who's been hitting the ball all night. Walk him. Don't play around. I'm sitting there watching.
He's gotten out half the time.
Listen,
tonight, even tonight, he's hitting
TV,
the ball all the time.
I turned to my son, and I said, he's going to hit the ball. If you're going to walk him, walk him. If you're going to play around, don't play around with a guy who can hit a double. Soon as he hit that double, I said, this game is over one way or another. That's the way the ebbs and flows of baseball go.
Okay,
so I'll let
your next point, Dean.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I've already responded to that. In absolutely no situation ever do you put the winning run on base with two out and nobody on. Never. Unless maybe it's Barry Bonds, but that's it. You got 45 seconds for your next point.
Okay. By the way, I totally disagree, just for the record. But for the next point.
No, you said that already, but get to the next point.
Okay, Dickey, is there no way he could have come out for the 7th? Because in the 7th, we gave up a tying run, and maybe we could have held on. I don't know. What do you think?
He threw 110 pitches in 6 innings. His control was really off tonight. He battled. He's been hurting. He didn't look good. So I'm going to say no. I think discretion, the better part of valor there. You take him out after 110 pitches. Delabar gives up a homer to a guy who's hitting .170. First home run he's allowed this season. These things are going to happen. It's unfortunate. It's only the 4th blown save for the Blue Jays in 36 games. But, again, these things are going to happen. I appreciate the call. I appreciate all the calls. I apologize to those of you to whom we could not get. A frustrating night for the Blue Jays. They wind up with a series split. They fall 5-4 to the Tampa Bay Rays in 10 with three consecutive two-out walks in the bottom of the 10th inning. We will put a nice pretty bow on this one and say goodnight when we continue. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Rough night for the Blue Jays, as with two out and nobody on in the 10th inning, Evan Longoria doubles. Then James Loney is intentionally walked to put runners at first and second. In comes Brad Lincoln, and he walks Ryan Roberts to load the bases, then walks Luke Scott to force in the winning run. Tampa beats the Blue Jays 5-4 in 10. The Jays have a series split, which is swell. They had lost 17 consecutive road series against the Tampa Bay Rays dating back to April of 2007. I'm Mike Wilner, taking a quick look at the scoreboard. The Houston Astros are trying to sweep away the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They lead 5-3 in the bottom of the seventh. National League Diamondbacks over the Phillies 1-0 bottom five. Braves lead the Giants 2-1 in the top of the third. Earlier, the Red Sox dropped their third straight, 6-7. The Twins beat them 5-3. Baltimore fell 6-2 to Kansas City, and the Yankees won in interleague. They beat the Rockies 3-1. Jays are heading north to Boston. Ramon Ortiz will make his Blue Jays debut as a starter against Red Sox lefty John Lester. We're on at 7 tomorrow night. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Jack Morris, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from St. Petersburg.